Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print. Sometimes I want a brand new day. Try to fit in where I don't belong.
It is sad that today, even many Christian young people, they may have been taught as kids what's right and wrong with regard to human sexuality. They're not buying it. They don't understand why right is right and wrong is wrong. It's a worldview question. Joining us to talk about the worldview rationality for a biblical sexual morality, Dr. Nancy Piercy, faculty tutor at Riverdale Sanctuary in Bloomington, Minnesota, author of the books Total Truth and Saving Leonardo. She's also written an article in the latest Christian research journal titled Sex, Lies, and Secularism. Dr. Piercy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here, Todd.
We've only got about a minute and a half before we need to take a break. Quickly, why do many Christian young people today just not buy into a biblical sexuality morality?
Yeah, well, the issue came up when I was writing that article that you mentioned because I found on the website a campus magazine, an online magazine, and it talked about how to have a happy hookup, quote unquote, a happy hookup that advised students to get mutual consent so that, as she put it, the whole hookup experience will be more positive for everyone involved. And it was only after I finished reading the article that I glanced at the writer's bio and I discovered that she attends a very conservative Christian college. And so that's when it really hit me that students can be Christian in their theology, they can be Christian in their convictions and still buy into the hookup culture because traditional ways of teaching biblical morality are no longer effective. Young people don't need only rules. They need reasons because reasons make sense of the rules. And that's why I argue in the piece that they really need to be taught a biblical worldview because that's what makes sense of biblical morality.
So that is, with about 30 seconds here, that is the framework on which hangs the do's and don'ts of a biblical morality.
That's right. It gives the reasons for it. For example, Christianity teaches a purpose-driven worldview. Our sexuality is not some evolutionary accident. It's part of God's good purpose for human life. And the secular world no longer thinks that way. And Christians are very prone to just absorb secular ideas unless they're given a strong Christian worldview to counter it.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more with Dr. Nancy Piercy on a worldview rationality for biblical morality.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a worldview rationality for biblical morality. Dr. Nancy Piercy is our guest. Dr. Piercy, let's kind of talk about where this thing went off the rails, at least in general terms. What is dualism, and why is it largely to account for an abandonment of a biblical morality?
Yeah, it really went off course, I think, with the rise of evolutionary theory and Charles Darwin, because Darwin taught that nature has no purpose. Nature is the product of mindless material causes. There's no guiding purpose. And the logical conclusion of that was that nature is just raw material that can be used for whatever purposes we might want to impose on it. In other words, since the human body is part of nature, the same technological mindset tends to be applied to the human body, not consciously, but it's just part of the prevailing worldview, so that our sexual nature becomes raw material that can be used and manipulated to whatever purposes people might have, you know, for pure pleasure, for recreation, with the opposite sex or the same sex or whatever. It was this view that the human body is merely material and has no purpose to it, as in the Christian view of nature, of course, is that it's purpose-driven, that God's purposes are built into nature, including the human body, and therefore we should use it the way God intended. And that was lost after the rise of evolutionary theory, and that is really the worldview shift that gave rise to the notion that we can just use our bodies however we want, and there's really no moral significance.
You say it's not just the false dichotomy of body and spirit that is played upon there, but also that the body has kind of a lesser role. I mean, this is kind of classic to many very ancient Christian heresies. Gnosticism had a kind of libertinism too, because the body was just a kind of temporary, useless shell.
Yeah, exactly. You see this particularly with the rise of the homosexual movement. People who defend against homosexuality often do so in terms of abstract terms like the family or the future of civilization. And I would argue that would be much more effective in addressing these kind of deeply rooted, emotionally charged behavior if we can help people see it's harmful to them. We need to learn to communicate that homosexuality expresses, as you put it, a dualistic view of the human person. And what I mean by that is that biologically, physiologically, males and females are clearly counterparts to one another. That's the way their reproductive anatomy is obviously designed. And the problem with homosexual practice is that it overrides that design. It implies that my physical anatomy doesn't matter, that I can disconnect who I am biologically from who I am in my sexual feelings and emotional attraction, that I can contradict my own biology. And that's why, as I argue, like you said, that is a very disrespectful view of the body. It is essentially saying that who you are biologically has no significance, no meaning, doesn't deserve any kind of respect. You can override it at will. And you're right. It's ancient. This is not a new thing. Ancient Gnosticism, the early church fought against something called Gnosticism, and it had that same low view of the body. So this is really the same battle, intellectual battle, coming back again.
We need to respond
to it as the early church did.
Is the biblical worldview with respect to the human body, our created natures, and within that human nature, two sexes, two genders?
Yeah, well, the thing is, over against a dualistic view of the human person, the biblical worldview says that we're whole persons, and our sexuality is designed to express a whole commitment of our whole lives, in other words, marriage. It is a very holistic and very life-affirming, body-affirming, sexuality-affirming view. It says that sex is a good thing because God created this, the physical world, and God is going to redeem the physical world. God came as a physical being in the person of Jesus Christ. So we really have a much higher view of sexuality than the secular world does. There was a really heartbreaking article in the New York Times about hooking up. And hooking up, of course, means there's no commitment, there's no emotional connection, there's no personal relationship. It's sometimes called friends with benefits, but even that is a euphemism because they're not even friends. There was a New York Times article, the article in the New York Times said you just keep it purely sexual and that way people don't have mixed expectations and no one gets hurt. Of course, they're completely wrong about that. People do get hurt. And in the same article, it went on to quote a teenager named Melissa who was depressed because her hookup partner had just broken up with her. And the point is that it was a very poignant example that reaffirms that we really are holistic beings. We cannot simply wall off our physical self from our emotional and spiritual self. And this is what Christianity is teaching. We can't wall ourselves off. We are whole beings. And this is ultimately a much higher view of the human person than anything out there in the secular world today.
What does this dualistic low view of the body, so popular today in the secular worldview, do to human rights and to human dignity?
Right. Human rights are based on the notion that there is a human nature that the state has to respect, that it's prior to the state, that it's God-given, and therefore the state has to respect it. So the whole notion of human rights depends on the idea that there is a human nature. But what we're seeing in the secular world today is that gender is completely fluid and changing. Like I said a minute ago, it's our body is something that we can just use however we want to. Here's where you see it particularly, transgender. And the transgender movement, which is now very, very active in trying to garner rights for the transgender people. They see gender as fluid, free-floating, disconnected from your physical anatomy. So a few years ago, California passed a law. It required all schools in the state to permit transgender students to use the restroom or the locker room of their preferred gender, no matter what their anatomical sex was. So what that means is if a boy felt he was really a girl, then he has to be allowed to use the girl's restroom, the girl's locker room, presumably the girl's shower room at PE, and so on. And the interesting thing was how the new law was written. The old law defined gender in terms of your biological sex. The new law defined gender in terms of your experience of yourself, your preferred gender, and it actually said it has nothing to do with what it called your assigned sex at birth. Now, most of us think if the baby is a boy or a girl, that's a fact. That's not something we assign. That kind of wording suggests that it's an arbitrary social convention. So you see, what's happening is gender and then human personality altogether is being defined as a social construction. And that will have devastating impact on human rights because if there's no human nature, if human nature is a social construction and can be changed at will, then there's no basis for human rights.
Dr. Nancy Piercy is faculty tutor at Riverdale Sanctuary in Bloomington, Minnesota, author of the books Total Truth and Saving Leonardo. She's also written an article in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Sex, Lies, and Secularism. You can find out about Total Truth and her latest publication, Saving Leonardo, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Piercy, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Folks, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this week, please consider making a tax-deductible gift this weekend. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind during the challenging summer months. When we lose the truth of Scripture's message to us, we lose it all. We lose the entire framework. We lose a way of thinking that is distinctly biblical and Christian. We lose the mind of Christ. So a return to God's Word, as difficult and as remedial as it will be for probably more than one generation, is imperative. Not only because Christians are called to that Word, are brought to faith by that Word, are given eternal life through that Word, are sustained in the faith through that Word, and live on the promises of that Word, centered in the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also because, as we say so often here, false teaching, whether it be a false worldview or a false morality that flows out from it, false teaching hurts people. There are right and wrong, because there is a God who is just and holy and our Creator. We live under His law. There's no doubt about that. And all of us, every last one of us, stands condemned apart from Christ by that law for our wrong worldview, our sexual immorality, and our immorality in every other sense, before God and before men. And if that's all there was to it, we would be without hope. We would just be people bound to live by rules we cannot keep. But the same God who has given the law, which is good and right and perfect, has given His Son to keep that law in our stead, to be obedient to that law in our place, and to be our substitute in the punishment that we deserve for breaking that law. He has restored us. And in restoring us in forgiveness, He has given us His mind to think again like He thinks. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.